I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We gonna go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
You're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official UK podcast for the Seattle Seahawks. Here are your hosts, Ross Bell, Stuart Court, and Adam Nathan. Go Hawks!
Welcome to the Pedestrian Podcast Plus One show. This week, this will be a hopefully weekly extra show with all three of us, or two of us, or just the lone wolf. We'll run through all the week's games in the NFL from the Thursday night game all the way through to the Monday nighter. Obviously, we won't cover the Seahawks much on this part, as it is one of the main focuses on the main pod this week. On the first edition of this, we do have a full load there with myself, Stuart Court, Adam Nathan, and Ross Ball. How are we, guys?
Good, mate. Good for more content. Love it.
Yeah. Yep, and it's a week where we actually can all it all lines up as well for all three of us, which is a rarity. But yeah, so what we're going to do is quickly run through with on each game our thoughts on each and every team, including what we think how it's going to break out in fantasy as well. So we'll kick it all off, shall we?
Yeah, I mean, just to interject, if you guys are excited about this, I mean, if you think we don't know a lot about the Seahawks, we know nothing about the rest of the league. So there's going to be some prime crap takes today. So it's going to be a great show. It's going to be great.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so we'll kick it off and we'll start with Thursday night football.
Yeah, keep it 100.
Jump offside. They didn't, but Brown makes the catch for the touchdown.
Fires it. Touchdown. Again, it's Brown. Antonio Brown having another monster performance.
And there's Gronkowski again. Touchdown. Brady's going to throw deep down the right side for Gronkowski and a touchdown.
Quinn trying to run him down and running out of time. It's a touchdown for Elliott. Elliott, touchdown.
Right over right guard. Zeke in for the touchdown. That's his 12th rushing touchdown of the season and 13th overall.
Keep it 100.
Yep, so first off, we go to the Houston Texans at the Cincinnati Bengals. The first NBC Thursday night game of the season. The fact that it's Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth might be the highlight of this one, Russ.
Yeah, possibly. I'm a big fan of Collinsworth. He gets a lot of crap, although this week he has picked the Niners to beat the Seahawks, but less about that, the better. Yeah, this could be a really good game. But, I mean, it could also be terrible. After watching Dalton play last week, he was appalling. Was he 4 interceptions? Yeah. Sacked about 6 times as well?
Yeah. So last week the Bengals were bageled 20-0 against the Baltimore Ravens, and the Texans were ran all over by the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, 29-7. Andy Dalton against the Houston Texans is 1-5, which is not a good stat line for a team which have been, to a certain extent, perennial playoff team. Adam, as Ross said, it could go either. It's either going to be the best or the worst, isn't it?
You stolen my phrase there, perennial playoff teams, because actually, if you look across the slate of games, whilst there's a lot of important ones, I'm not convinced there's a game that has more resonance with the two teams, but both of these teams will have come into the season expecting a good run at the playoffs. And if either of them starts 0-2, especially Cincinnati, who are always a team that, you know, whilst they never come close to sacking the coach, there's always is this Marvin Lewis's last year? Yeah. You know, if they start 0-2 with two games that they probably would have earmarked as winnable home games at the start of the year, you worry where that season's going to go for them after a pretty down year last year. And Houston, who have basically owned the AFC South for the last, you know, half decade, if they lose, it's a long way back for them as well.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it like that. It's weird to have a week 2 game, as you say, with this much weight on it. Yeah, so the Texans, as we said last week, lost 29-7 to the Jags. They were thumped by the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were beaten up on both sides of the ball in the trenches on the O-line and the D-line. The O-line giving up 10 sacks to the Jaguars, and the rush defense wasn't much better, with the Jags running for 155 yards with a first-round pick and top-five pick from this past April's draft, Leonard Fournette running for 100 yards on the dot. So this Texans defense, it's always been a bit of a strange one, despite all the Hollywood up front. It's not great in the back end, is it, Ross?
No, like I said, the defensive front is really good, but yeah, the back end's weakened. Losing Brian Cushing this week for 10 games, is it? He's out for now, suspended. That's a big loss.
Also, it's also just a different way for Cushing to miss games.
Yeah, true.
But yeah. Adam, the secondary is.
Yeah, well, they lost AJ Bowie last week, in the offseason to Jacksonville, funnily enough, who played pretty well against DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, they've got problems there, and having looked at the stats this week, they are Deshaun Watson is going to be the ninth starting quarterback they've had since 2014. For a coach who is declared as a quarterback whisperer, they've had more starting quarterbacks than Cleveland. And Cleveland have enough starting quarterbacks that people make replica jerseys of a list of the starting quarterbacks they have, because it's so many. Yeah, I mean, it's just a huge game, and now that I just said I'm not going to watch it because who cares, and now that we've started talking about it, I'm actually quite fired up for it.
Yeah, and obviously the Texans announced yesterday, I think it was, that Deshaun Watson will be the starter for this game until Bill O'Brien changes his mind again after one quarter. But yeah, well, obviously the Cushing suspension is out for 10 games with PEDs, which, if you find the picture of Brian Cushing at USC, is the most unsurprising thing ever. They suffered 5 concussions, I think it was, maybe 6.
Yeah.
On Sunday, 3 of them to tight end, so they've had to sign a tight end off their practice squad, who is their only active and clothed tight end tonight.
Jesus. Any sort of fantasy relevance in this game for any of you guys?
For me personally, none whatsoever. But it's for the Texans, it's always going to be DeAndre, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, and I think Cincinnati, they've got 3 running backs. But for me, Joe Mixon is comfortably the best of them. And for me, they're wasting reps giving Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard the opportunity to sort of get 60 yards off, 14 carries a game. I just think they should hand it over to the rookie. I did make a wager with, there's another UK podcast called Brits in the End Zone, which do a decent roundup job, or very good roundup job, I should say. And I've wagered with them that Joe Mixon between weeks 8 to 16 will be a top 3 fantasy scoring running back. And I stand by it. I just think the guy is, personal issues aside, I think the guy is, without question, the best rookie running back of the current class. And I have him in 3 leagues, so that's one reason I wanted to hand it over. But I really can't wait to watch him go. And as long as the Bengals O-line holds up, even moderately, I feel that he could be a big performer.
I think, like you said on our other show this week, Stu, AJ Green's been criminally wasted, isn't he?
Yeah.
Played with Dalton.
Yeah. Well, the whole team's just a bit strange. You have players like AJ Green, who's top 3, top 5 wide receiver in the league, and then you have a quarterback who's as middle of the road as you can get in Andy Dalton. It's just a very strange franchise to watch. Obviously, from the outside, it might be different when you actually are a Bengals fan, but from the outside, it's a very weird team to watch. Marvin Lewis if he loses this, and he loses it like they did on Sunday, there could be some warmth on his seat, couldn't there, Adam?
I think so, but his seat seems to be triple Teflon and triple crushed ice coated, because that seat doesn't seem to feel any heat. He seems to get away with whatever he wants.
Yeah, it's all very strange. So should we try any fantasy relevant players on the Bengals side, or is it just Mixon for you, Adam?
It's just Mixon, and I think AJ Green becomes relevant when John Ross comes back, and I think that'll open up room for Tyler Eifert as well.
Yeah, well, I've got AJ Green in one of my fantasy teams, so I hope it happens tonight, please. Last Thursday night, I had Kareem Hunt amass points by the second, so hopefully AJ Green can repeat that. Anything fantasy relevant for the Bengals, Ross?
I've got Mixon in one of my leagues, but that's the only player in either of these two teams that really I'm looking out for. Not too much in this one for me.
Yeah, one more thing with the Bengals. There's a lot of talk, obviously, with what happened on Sunday, that the Seahawks don't put enough draft picks and all that into their O-line. The Bengals have put draft picks into their O-line. Ogbuie, Jake Fisher, Bodine, I think they're all first or second round picks, and they were bullied by the Baltimore Ravens. They have been below average, yes, possibly better than the Seahawks O-line, but they are the thing that proves that maybe it's not always the best thing to draft high draft O-linemen, because the thing in Dallas, as we'll get to later, that's more of an anomaly than the trend, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, well, they did lose Whitworth and is it Zimmer or Zeitler?
Yeah, Zeitler.
And you know, to lose two veteran figures like that when you're trying to work some younger guys in probably doesn't help. But you know, I've got enough O-line worries in my life with the Seahawks, and not have to worry about another team's O-line problems.
Right. So, prediction, score, or team to win? I think the spread is 6 in favor of the Texans. Wow. I think.
So, really, I was going to go Bengals by 4.
Okay, well, Russ?
Yeah, I'm taking the Bengals, and they're on NFL.com. They're 60% user consensus as well, so slight advantage to the home team.
Yeah, there's usually a good rule of thumb on Thursday Night Football that the home team are the team to back, because obviously they don't have to travel on a short week. So, yeah, I think the Bengals, but I wouldn't if the spread's above 45, I'd be surprised.
I think 37.5 is the over-under on points on this.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So moving on to the Sunday games, and the Chicago Bears travel to Tampa Bay to face the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers in their season opener after last week's game in Miami was postponed. The Bears in week one just losing after 4 attempts from inside the 5. Either dropped or overthrown. They lost 23-17 to the reigning NFC champion Atlanta Falcons. But they did run the Falcons close, didn't they, Russ?
Yeah, really close. Like you say, it could have been a lot different if Mike Glennon could finish them off. But this Bears team's got something with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, two very fantasy relevant players, and they can lean on that for the entire season, especially with the receiving corps now at just bare bones. I mean, it was week before Kevin White went out last week, and it's even worse now.
Yeah, I think they've got Kendall Wright, who's been somewhat underrated in Tennessee last year. So to lean on a veteran guy like that is not a bad thing. But yeah, Kevin White is just that's just a bit depressing, because he was so good in college ball at West Virginia, Adam. But it was, for all his limitations, it was quite an impressive defeat, if there's such a thing, on Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this going into what we can only call the Mike Glennon revenge game. he's not a complete tomato can. He can stand in the pocket and pick a guy out. I mean, he's 100 feet tall, so you'd expect that he can see a pass. I probably have a bit of Hard Knocks fever with Tampa Bay, because I'm really looking forward to seeing them. I think with OJ Howard, Mike Evans, and DeSean Jackson, they have the potential to have one of the best receiving corps in the league. And I think Tampa Bay will handle business fairly comfortably here. But certainly Chicago, who I think I went into the season probably had them power ranked at around about 30 to 32, maybe will be slightly better than that.
Yeah, John Fox is someone who's a bit of a Marmite coach. He's either loved or hated. I do quite like him. I think he's quite a good coach. He coaches up players, and even if he's devoid of some talent, they still get him to a competitive level. So I think he's a good coach. I think that's what he's going to have to do this year with the Bears, especially now without Kevin White. I've kind of changed. I think I said the podcast, Bears possibly could be my shock of the week. I think I'm starting to walk away from that a little bit now. I think the Buccaneers at home. The Buccaneers at home, so this company, they are 7-point favourites, according to ESPN, and the over-under is 44. Any fantasy-relevant players for the Bears, Ross?
Well, yeah, Tariq Cohen had 5 carries for 66 yards against the Falcons last week. That's impressive.
And he had 8 catches for 47 and a touchdown.
Yeah, it's very impressive. And I like Zach Miller as a tight end. He's a good streaming option some weeks, and he's fairly safe pair of hands.
Yeah. Anything fancy for you, Adam?
In the game, I think you're probably looking at more Tampa Bay players than you are Chicago. I think Howard was on the Bears injury report this week as questionable. So maybe that gives Cohen a bit of a nudge. But if he's not been picked up in your league already, I'd be very surprised, because he must be one of the hottest properties. I tried to get him in all four leagues and failed miserably, even though I think I put 30% of my entire waiver budget on him in one league and still got gazumped quite heartily. I think this is more of a game for the fan than the fantasy fan.
Yeah, I'd agree. And also in our fantasy league, there is a GM who is a Bears fan and picked him up last week, so he clearly knew what was coming on Sunday. On the Buccaneers side, as you said, the offense is pretty potent. They added Deshaun Jackson in a big money deal over the offseason. Jameis Winston is an emerging quarterback, if that is such a thing. These could be an under-the-radar playoff team, couldn't they, Adam?
Yeah, 100%. I think that the NFC South and East, although it's tricky with the Vikings, I think that, the NFC West aren't having two teams in the playoffs. That's for absolute certain. So it's going to come from somewhere else. And I think if anyone can win 10 games, I think Tampa Bay are a good shot to do that.
Yeah. Ross, under the radar?
Yes, they've also got that. There's a weight of expectations. We saw Dirk Cutter on Hard Knocks say that everything is in place now. We are a really good team. You need to win. So they've put the pressure on themselves, but if they can stand up to it, then yeah, definitely. They can easily take the South, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So prediction for this game is a full house of Buccaneers now, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you taking the over under, which is...
43 it is.
Yeah.
I'll
go over on that, yeah.
On total points, no, I'll take the under, but I reckon Tampa Bay by 8 or 9.
Yeah, Bucks minus 7 is the current line, so.
Yeah, it's minus 7. Over under on ESPN is 44, so yeah. This is a way, I think there must be a way to take both. I'll do over in Tampa Bay. But yeah, moving on to Browns. Cleveland Browns are travelling to Baltimore to face the Ravens. The Browns on Sunday lost 21-18 to Pittsburgh, and as we mentioned, the Ravens blanked the Cincinnati Bengals 20-0 on Sunday. For the Browns, though, as we mentioned on the other pod a couple of days ago, they have something, their young quarterback and a young offense, Adam.
Yeah, this is probably the worst game they could possibly have at this time of the year. Baltimore look, after a couple of years of having a much vaunted defense, look like they actually have that now. I think they could be a really dominant unit. And it's a shame for Kaiser, who showed, he's going to have to play them at some point, but having shown some really nice shoots starting out as his career, you almost wish he could go and play Indianapolis at home or something like that with no defense. So I think it's going to be a bit of a rough ride for Cleveland, who did start well last week and have started the season well. I think they will be a fine team. Fine, not fine good, as in not awful. It's just the worst possible opponent for them this week.
It is, yeah. Brandon Williams and Michael Pierce, I think his name is, up front of the defensive line for Ravens, did it all on Sunday. I think they rated second and third on Pro Football Focus rankings for interior D linemen. Unsurprisingly, Mike Daniels was number one. The Kaiser and the offense is, as Adam said, there's reasons for confidence, if that's the word, Ross, in Cleveland.
Yeah, Kaiser looked very good. He got sacked 8 times, so they can't really afford to do that unless they want to see the rest of their quarterbacks playing. But they needed some running game. 17 carries for 33 yards was Isaiah Crowell's total last week, averaging 1.9 yards per run. That's almost Eddie Lacy territory.
You took it out. You took the words out of my mouth.
In terms of fantasy players, I picked up Buck Allen this week. He was my... because I got terribly thrashed last week. I had number one waiver pick, and he was one of the hottest guys there. I thought he could be a decent option for the Ravens. 21 carries for 70 yards last week.
Yeah, I've got Duke Johnson in my league, and I think he was on my bench last week because I don't remember him.
They used him solely as a receiver last week.
He's basically the CJ Prosos, possibly a bit more durable. It is. Corey Coleman's the fantasy relevant player here, though, isn't he, Adam?
Yep. I think he connected for about, what was that, about 80 yards on a touchdown with Kaiser last week.
And he got lit up on the touchdown as well.
Yeah, he did really well to hold on to that. If you are going to take a player in this game offensively, I guess it's him and Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, a few things of note for the Browns. Offensive linemen and far too often... trade dream for Seattle. Joe Thomas is 4 snaps short of playing 10,000 consecutive snaps
Jesus.
For the Cleveland Browns, which is would surely have to be a record at this point. In all the mess, that is just incredible. And also, the Cleveland Browns, since November 2012, have 18 wins. The baseball team across the road are on a 21 win streak over the last 3.5 weeks. So it's a bit of a clash of styles and abilities over the across two sports. Now, for the Ravens, as I said, defense is going to carry it again. But yet again, as something which Gordon Reitner watched the game with on Sunday, almost Mystic Meg, like two plays before, he goes, "Oh, Danny Woodhead's playing, I wonder how long he lasts." Two plays later,
cursed
him. He's injured and out for a few weeks again. It's for me, Terrence West was a top fantasy pickup for, because he was on our league anyway, Adam. He was on the free agency. He's possibly the most fantasy relevant guy on that side of on that sideline, isn't he, Adam?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of players who have a ceiling of 10 points. He just doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to, you know, run for 100 yards, receive for 40 and score you a touchdown. So I guess if you really need a flex player, you might pick up West, but he doesn't really do it for me, especially with you know, their lack of receivers. They can probably stack the box, and I don't think he's that explosive a guy that he can do it by himself.
Ross?
Yeah, both their running backs are the best options because they had 40 carries between them last week. Flacco only threw the ball 17 times, easing him back into the season. So definitely just kind of you might get lucky with a long Macklin touchdown like last week, but definitely go for the running backs if anyone.
Yeah. Although if you're in a league, which I think most leagues have defense special teams, the Ravens did pick off Andy Dalton four times on Sunday and sacked him a further five. So when they face a rookie playing on the road for the first time, it could be an idea to, if you can, stream in the Ravens' defense, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Also, the spread on this, the Browns plus 8.5, I'd take that.
Yeah, I mean, they only lost by 4, was it, Johnson?
Against a much better offense.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see how Flacco moves in the pocket. I mean, I'm not too certain who the top pass rusher is for the Browns, but it might be quite a comfortable day.
Quarterback with a bad back is not a good thing to have.
No, it isn't. And Tom Savage played like he had one all the time. For the Texans, and it's a pretty hilarious gif where he looks unathletic walking backwards, which is no mean feat. Predictions? Obviously, Ross is going for the +8 for Cleveland. Adam, just see that being that tight, or is it just going to be the
Ravens? Yeah, I reckon Baltimore by 6.
I am picking the Ravens, but for betting purposes, I will take the Browns. With the points.
What's the over under?
39. Under. 39 is the under.
Yeah, this is going to be like a 2010 kind of thing, isn't it? Mm. I think. But yeah, I think the Ravens by about 9 or 10. I think this week. Moving on, the Patriots, New England Patriots, after their shock 42-17 opening night loss at home to the Kansas City Chiefs, which was hilarious for most of the league. They head to the Superdome in New Orleans to face Drew Brees and the Saints. If the Patriots lose this game, it will be the first time the New England Patriots will be two games under 500 since week 5 in 2001.
Wow.
Where Tom Brady's career was just 3 games long. But it back to week 1, their defense was shredded, wasn't it, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, the front 7 looked like they had some problems that might take a little bit more than some Belichick magic to fix. However,
mentioning no name to us, just out of
he played linebacker.
However, for all the stick that someone like Andy Reid gets as a coach, he has a really nice offense working there with Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, and Smith isn't. You know, I feel Smith gets unfortunately bracketed with some quarterbacks that he is considerably better than. You know, if for whatever reason Russell Wilson went down and by magic Alex Smith became the Seahawks quarterback, there's a lot of guys out there I would much less rather have than him.
370 yards last week through the air with Smith.
Yeah. Last week he threw, two touchdowns which were over 70 yards or 60 yards. In the previous 11 years of his career, he'd done it only twice. So he doubled that number in an evening's work. But yeah, he was quite impressive. I did start the night saying that he was bad and just praying for Patrick Mahomes to come in and lead that offense, because he's so much more fun to watch. But fair play to Alex Smith. He really did slice and dice, didn't he, Russ?
Yeah, he just tore them apart all over the field. And it does help when you've got players that can get that sort of run after catch yards and Hunt and Tyreek Hill. But yeah, this is interesting because the Patriots are going to have to try and bounce back here. But I like this Saints offense. If they can get a sort of solid line play, then they can score some points as well.
Yeah, the offense, though, I mean, obviously, the Seahawks fans are not ones to overreact, but is it much of an overreaction that Brady showed signs of the age starting to catch up last week, Adam?
Not for me. I mean, he heaved one about 60 yards to Brandon Cook.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't think that's a problem. I think, if anything, the loss of Edelman is much more of an issue for him than the loss of another year of his life.
I mean, he's never been athletic, has he?
No. And, you know, the Patriots have done this before. They got absolutely waxed by Kansas City on the road in the year they beat us from the one-yard line in the Super Bowl 49. So I think it's more for you if you're writing off Tom Brady and the Patriots at any stage of this season.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's just fun to wind up a Patriots fan if you got one of them in your friends group, just to keep winding them up with it. Oh, he's a bit old now, isn't he? But yeah, they running game last week, they entered the game with Deion Lewis as their starting running back, labeled their starting running back, and over the first half he had zero carries. The Patriots have and always will be, with Belichick, fantasy football annoyers, weren't they? The killers, with how they just never seem to have a lead guy at any position of bar quarterback, Adam.
No, the only thing with them is that you've got someone like Mike Gillisley, who appears to be taking over the LeGarrette Blount role from last year of get the ball on the half-yard line and smash it in for 6 points, which is great if he's going to do it twice a game, and he might get you 14 points. But even if he only does it once a game, again, is he a bit of a Terrence West 8-9 point ceiling guy? I'm not convinced that he is necessarily worth what you might have to do to get him in this stage, because presumably in whatever league you're in, someone's already owns him.
Yeah, Russ?
Yeah, it's a very annoying backfield to try and look at from a fantasy point of view. My friend had Gillisley and left him on his bench last week, so he was furious. But even the rest of that roster, I mean, Gronk had 2 catches for 30 yards, Brandon Cooks, 3 catches. Amendola is the one to top 100 yards, but who's going to be playing Danny Amendola on a week-to-week basis, really?
Yeah, it's true. They are quite... obviously, Belichick could not give less of a shit about that, but never mind. Moving on to the Saints, they did lose to the Vikings on the Monday night game, 29-19. I didn't watch much of this game past the first quarter, but you two guys mentioned that they appear to have O-line issues once the right tackle went out, Russ.
Yes, before that they were moving the ball quite handily the way the Saints tend to, but yeah, as soon as he went down, and that Vikings D-line is very good, and they were just giving Breeze no time at all, and as soon as they got behind, they couldn't use Peterson, much to his annoyance. He was very angry on the sidelines. I think Kamara was the one that had the most carries, actually, because Ingram was used sparingly as well. And then receivers-wise, Kobe Fleener was the highest yardage with 54 yards.
Yeah, that's 54 yards.
Yeah,
that's very strange. Adam, anything to add?
Yeah, I think that the Saints are basically two fantasy teams in one. They're one when they're on the road and they're one when they're at home. And I think at home, if you've got players like Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, who I do have in a couple of leagues, you're very much looking forward to any home game they have, because the likelihood is they'll do well. But they're not the team that you can trust across the course of the season. So whether you'd be looking to trade for any Saints players, I'm not convinced you would, because you can only really count on them for half the year.
I have Brees and Thomas in my team.
I had that last year, and Willie Snead is obviously currently suspended, but the defense for the Saints is the same as it's always been, giving up 470 yards to the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Bradford, at 7.5 yard per play.
Wow.
That's seemingly never going to change, is it, Adam?
No. I don't think they've much interest in defending, particularly, much like Borussia Dortmund, thankfully. I think they're always going to be the type of team that you'll score 50, we'll score 51. And good luck to them, because that's what makes red zone fun on a Sunday night.
Seeing Drew Brees so often. Drew Brees and Thomas are the top two fantasy guys on that side of the sideline as well, aren't they, guys?
Yeah, massively. especially without Snead.
Yeah. Predictions. The New England Patriots are 6.5-point favourites. The over under is 56. As Adam said, with the Saints at home, I would be quite tempted to take Saints plus and the over on this one. Russ?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Saints, give the Saints almost a touchdown advantage at home. That over under, yeah, 56 is, it's going to go over because Brady wants to, I'm assuming he's going to want to put on a performance. In terms of user consensus, the Patriots said 91% on the road, which seems a little high for me.
Yeah. Adam?
Yeah, well, I reckon that it might be closer to 156 than 56. so I am going to go with a hearty over on that. And I reckon the Patriots will nick it by... Yeah, I'll take the Saints plus.
Yeah, all right, next game, Eagles at the Chiefs. The Eagles started the season with a 30-17 win against the NFC rival Washington Redskins. The defense, every year, no matter the makeup, no matter the players, no matter the defensive coordinator, which this year, again, is Jim Schwartz, they just always seem to come up with either a return, a punt return, a kickoff return, a fumble return, or a pick six. On last Sunday, it was a Fletcher Cox fumble recovery for a touchdown. They are possibly one of the more underrated units in the league, aren't they, Adam, the defense?
Yeah, they're great to watch. And it's really fun when you get to watch a point-scoring defense. You know, there's so many teams that, like the New York Giants, and until we see otherwise, maybe even our Seahawks, that are very good smothering defenses, but the Eagles are a scoring team. And that's just great fun to watch. You know, anytime a fat man's running into the end zone, that always gets me off my seat.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox should have been joined on Sunday by Naz Jones, obviously. But yeah, the defense is, obviously, they have lost Ronald Darby for, I think it's six to eight weeks, I think it is, with his dislocated ankle he suffered.
Which ligament damage, but yeah, just a bad sprain.
Yeah, so that was
it looked worse than that when this happened, to be honest.
Horrible. Well, yeah, and on the offensive side, they seem to have a bit of running game issue. They brought in LeGarrette Blount, and for all intents and purposes, it looked a bit like the DeMarco Murray experiment, where they've got a running back who just doesn't fit the way they want to run the ball. Do you see that, Russ?
Yeah, 14 carries for 40 yards. Seems to only work in New England, LeGarrette Blount. Anywhere else he goes, it doesn't really work out for him. But no. I like this Eagles team, and I like Carson Wentz. He looks like what I want to see Russell Wilson doing, just creating plays with his feet and just making stuff happen, and he looked really excited last week.
He was my favourite quarterback from that lot last year. Obviously, he went number two to Adam's favourite. Running game and Wentz, that's the base for everything, isn't it, for the Eagles, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, the problem that they've got with Wentz is that he's capable of the sublime, which was the throw to Aguilar after the amazing work in the pocket, to the absolutely ridiculous, which was the attempted screen pass to Aguilar again, which was over him and behind him, that I think cost him a touchdown, didn't it?
Yeah, I think you tweeted something to that effect as well, didn't you?
I think I tweeted the very same. So whilst I do like him, he's the kind of guy that he can sort of mask how unpolished he is with some very polished work. So he's not a guy that going into Kansas City I particularly trust to get it done, because I see Kansas as a better team and B a more efficient team that aren't going to cough up the ball in the way that the Redskins did.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Obviously, on the Chiefs side, we mentioned earlier that they did beat the Patriots 42-17 on Thursday Night Football. Kareem Hunt was possibly the star of week one in the NFL, 17 rushes, 148 yards, and a touchdown on the, which was matched by 5 catches for 98 and 2 touchdowns. As a receiver, as we said, Alex Smith did have his best game, but Kareem Hunt, the rookie, was the star of the show, wasn't he, over the weekend, Russ?
Yeah, definitely. And much to my annoyance, he killed me in fantasy, but they are playing a real defense this week, and I think it will be a much tougher task to try and get any sort of repeat performance out of them, because that, like I said, that Eagles defense is for real, and they're only owned in 27% of leagues on Yahoo.
Yeah,
that's scandalous.
I've got them in my
draft one of my leagues.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, Adam, Kareem Hunt, star of the show.
I think he was the star of the show on Thursday, but I am as big a Tyreek Hill fan as you'll probably find as a player, not necessarily as a person. I think last week was his sixth consecutive game with a touchdown of more than 60 yards.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is just absurd.
Can we use Tyler Lockett like they use Hill, please? That'd be nice.
Yeah, I wish. I mean, his Twitter handle is faster than yeah, I think. which, you know, fair play to him. He calls it like he sees it. He is faster than yeah. He's certainly faster than me, and I'm pretty sure he's faster than the two of you as well.
Yes.
So if you can get Tyreek Hill, he's the kind of guy that I would go by hook or by crook. He may not be the biggest name, but I think he's going to be a consistent scorer all season.
Yeah, and I think those Hunt and Hill are going to be the fancy relevant players all season long for the Chiefs, aren't they, Adam?
Yeah, for sure. They are probably. I mean, there's obviously Travis Kelce is always worth a few points, but if I could only have two Chiefs, it would be those two 100%.
Yeah, on the defensive side, obviously, they lost Eric Berry to a torn Achilles, which is just a massive, massive loss to the Chiefs. If you think of what impact losing Earl Thomas was for the Seahawks on our lot last year, this is exactly the same for Eric Berry, who went just before him in the draft. And just like Earl Thomas, since Berry's injury, they've signed Stephen Terrell. So enjoy that.
Kind we of know what that happens.
Yeah, obviously, outside of him, Marcus Peters is quickly becoming one of the league's best. On 40 coverage stats last week, he gave up zero completions and he was barely targeted by the quarterback who is referred to as the GOAT. He really is, as a Husky fan as well, Adam, he is emerging as top five easily in the position.
Without question.
Does he travel?
No.
No.
I think traveling is an overrated thing that people require from cornerbacks.
Yeah,
I have to say,
is.
If you can lock down a side, then you're doing your job just fine.
Who's number one wideout for the Eagles? Would you say Jeffrey, or because Aguilar seemed to break out?
Jeffrey, probably. Well, yeah, I think Jeffrey will be. I think Jeffrey's the top guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, prediction: the Eagles are 5.5 point dogs. Adam, prediction.
I'm taking Kansas to cover that. I reckon they win by 12.
Yeah, I think this will be a handy Chiefs win. As I said, I think Wentz makes too many mental boo-boos to win in KC at this stage. Russ?
First time we differ, I'm taking the Eagles on this one. I don't know why, I'm just really high on them this year.
Up until, I think, last Thursday, I had them to win the NFC East, and I changed it. Then I changed it to the Giants, which looks even more But never mind. Moving on, the Vikings 1-0 after their win on Monday Night Football against the Saints, head to Pittsburgh to face possibly the best offense in football, although that offense did just squeak past the Browns, Adam.
I think if you made me predict someone, I would have the Steelers going all the way to the Super Bowl this year. I think when it all starts to click, they're going to be the best offense in the game. And especially at home, although this could well be one of their more difficult games this season.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I don't, as we said about Alex Smith, I don't think Sam Bradford looked as good as he did on Monday Night Football. There's a catch which seems to confound everyone on Twitter and Facebook, where he seems to place it to a Vikings player you can't see until he catches the ball. So no idea what Sam Bradford saw. Vikings, though, Dalvin Cook had a pretty decent start, didn't he, Russ?
Yeah, the fantasy relevant player is definitely Dalvin Cook, 127 yards and 22 carries. And Adam Thielen, 9 receptions for 157 yards.
Yeah, for us, all the he's basically their Doug Baldwin. He's come from and drafted from out of nowhere, and he's one of Stefan Diggs. He's very, very good. Yeah.
Matt, just on Thielen, I think that in Diggs and Thielen, the Vikings may have the best pair of route runners in the whole league out of wide receivers. They're both so clean in what they do.
I'd agree with that. I think Diggs is definitely up there. Yeah, I think Thielen's emerging there. Defensive side, they've got Bar Kendricks and Xavier Rhodes. That's quite a fun young trio to watch ascend, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, they are great. I mean, once the Saints right tackle went down, the Saints couldn't do a thing, and they were smothering with Everson Griffin on, is it Armstead who's the new left tackle for the Saints?
Ramchick,
was just just took him apart at times. And Ramchick was doing his best, but it showed that the experience that Griffin had. And I think as a unit, The Vikings look good. I sort of scoffed at a few people saying that they might make the NFC Championship game this year, but having watched them, if they can establish the run, which sets up Bradford for the play action as well as he played it on Monday, the sky could be the limit for the Vikings this year.
Every time I looked up, Kendricks was smacking a Saints running back either out of the line or behind the line.
It's quite rare, but they managed to do it where they had two linebackers who were teammates at College of UCLA. They drafted in consecutive years, I think, Kendricks and Barr. Yeah. But yeah, defensive side for the Steelers, TJ Watt possibly could be better than his brother. TJ on Sunday had seven total tackles, two sacks, two tackles for a loss, one pass defense, and two quarterback hits. He was all over the place on his NFL debut. But the defense for the Steelers, alongside the offense, is overshadowed mightily, isn't it, Adam?
Yes, although I think that the Steelers' defense is going to be an underrated group. I think with someone like Ryan Shazier as the heart of that team, who is a good player, and TJ Watt is a smart pickup, I think they've strengthened in the back end a little bit. And I don't think the Steelers' defense is going to be sort of a liability group by any stretch of the imagination this year. I think they'll probably complement an offense that's going to look to grind the clock down. I think they'll complement them pretty well.
Yeah. Russ, defense, Steelers?
Yeah, slightly underrated, I think. I was quite high on them last year, and they flattered to deceive, but I think they've improved this year, definitely with TJ Watt. I wanted the Seahawks to draft him. Unfortunately, we didn't. We got McDowell instead, and that worked well, but yeah, I think it's going to be a fun game, this one.
Yeah, I mean, too. The Vikings are 6-point dogs as well. The over-under's 45.5. I think I might be tempted just to take the Steelers here. I think the Steelers' offense just has far too much, and at home especially, Adam.
I think I'm going to take the over on the points. I think the Vikings might hang with them quite well, so... what did you say the over was? Sorry, the spread?
5.5.
Ooh. Yeah, I think I might take Minnesota on that.
I think
it might be Pittsburgh by 5.
Yeah. Ross, what was that?
I think it could be a field goal game, but I'm taking, in terms of picking-wise, I'm taking the Steelers, but yeah, I'd definitely take the Vikings plus 5.5. I think that's looking forward to is Antonio Brown versus Xavier Rhodes. That's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Moving on, the Bills, Buffalo Bills, Tyrod Taylor, and there's Sean McCoy here to Carolina to face the Carolina Panthers. The Bills on Sunday beat the hapless New York Jets 21-12. The Panthers beat the equally offensively hapless anyway, San Francisco 49ers 23-3. For the Bills, though, it's Shady McCoy or bust, isn't it, Adam? Russ, Adam, whichever.
I don't know what to make of this Bills team, because they let the Jets hang around for far too long in that game before they've put them away. Tyrod looks good, and yeah, it's McCoy and Mike Tolbert as the goal line back, apparently. It's an interesting one-two.
I don't think a running back has ever been vultured as much as Shady McCoy has in his NFL career, but he's possibly the top fantasy guy as well, isn't he, Adam?
Yeah, I think by far he's probably the top fantasy guy in the game, I would say. There's nothing really that interesting about this game, in my opinion. I'm sorry to say, it's just it's one team I don't care about. This is one team I don't like, neither of which I expect to have seasons that go much further than Week 17. I think, sorry to not be too much more interested, but I can see Carolina winning this by 10 to 12 points and everyone going home and never caring about this game ever again.
Yeah.
The Panthers to start with the Niners and the Bills, with the Bills at home,
is quite
generous for them. Yeah. Cam Newton did appear to struggle though against the 49ers last week. 14 for 25, just 175 yards and 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. The defense is the same. Keekly and Davis are solid, but as Adam said, this isn't going to be a game which features prominently on Red Zone, I'd imagine. Russ?
Panthers win in one that's not going to feature much on Red Zone. Yeah, if you want a fantasy player, Russell Shepherd is available in almost every league. 2 receptions for 53 yards and a touchdown last week.
Calvin only had 1 catch for 20-odd yards as well. Adam, prediction?
Yeah, Carolina by enough. It would be remiss of me to not mention my absolute boy, Christian McCaffrey, who, let's see how he gets on. Hopefully he has a breakout game. although it's just so sad he's ended up there of all the places he could have gone to. But yeah, I think the Cam Newton thing is going to be interesting to watch, because they want to clearly dial back on the amount of running he does and hits that he takes, and sort of turn him, do what the Steelers did with Ben Roethlisberger sort of midway through his career. But I guess we'll see this year whether the last year was the outlier in his career or whether the MVP year was the outlier, because really, you never know what you're going to get from him.
I know which one I believe more.
I agree. I think he's quite a good quarterback. Moving on to a game which possibly I could care about even less, even though the 20 teams are in our division. The Cardinals travel to Indianapolis to face someone someone at quarterback, not too sure who, and the Indianapolis Colts. Last week, the Cardinals lost 35-23 to the Detroit Lions. Colts lost to the Rams at LA Rams 46-9. But the biggest loss for the Cardinals was the David Johnson injury, wasn't it, Russ?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if people listen to our podcast are well aware of my thoughts on Johnson. But before that, he had 23 yards on 11 carries. That's not great either. That wasn't really setting the world on fire. He got 67 yards on 6 receptions, so that's good. But this game is going to be tragic. This might not even feature on red zone. They might just leave this one off.
Yeah, it might just turn off electricity.
Because Palmer looked so bad.
Yeah, he really, really did. But yeah, we spoke about last week, I spoke about to the guys on the AFC West Roundtable that all about the injuries for Carson Palmer's going to suffer. And then David Johnson goes down. Obviously, he dislocated his wrist. He's out for, Bruce Arians said yesterday they hope to have him back in December. Would there be a temptation just to, if obviously depending on how the season goes between now and then, just to wipe out the season for Johnson and just come back again next year, yeah. Adam?
I think see where they are. It's going to be a big ask for Carson Palmer if he doesn't improve physically to lead his team to a position where they've probably got, you know, they're probably going to need 8 wins by the time December comes round in order for them to be a playoff team in December. So you're asking quite a lot there. I think in the same way as the Colts with Andrew Luck, I think it's probably see where he is when he's fully fit and maybe you can... you can bring him back if there's a chance, but if not, who knows? For David Johnson, it's almost ideal for him. He's the third year of his career. If he was ever going to get injured again, he couldn't have a higher stock in the game. He probably will never have a higher stock in the game than he has now. And going into a contract year, you know, you never want to get injured. But he has perfect tape going into a contract year. So consolation for him is that at least.
Yeah, great, and the defense Cardinals doesn't seem to be what it once was. Obviously, just through week one, but they gave up close to 400 yards, nearly 300 yards in the air from Matt Stafford, and for one where they draft and get so much credit for their DBs, that's not great. As for the Colts, it's just a complete and utter mess. How Chuck Pagano is still in the job as we record this on Thursday after he started his press conference on Sunday referring to the Rams as the defeat. That the Colts had their ass kicked by the 49ers.
wasn't even watching.
But he's still in a job somewhere. But yeah, Pagano is a dead man walking, isn't he, Adam?
Yeah, and we come round to the first team of this roundup so far. When you look at them and think, how can you really have any self-respect for yourself by not having Colin Kaepernick in your building right now? It's at a stage now where you cannot be calling football reasons. We've done this too much. But there was in the summer the idea that football reasons are why Kaepernick hasn't been signed. There is no football reason for the Indianapolis Colts to not have Colin Kaepernick as their quarterback going into this weekend.
It's just ridiculous at this point. The fact that Thursday they're not sure who to start a quarterback is just an absolute abomination from the Colts, and it's just complete mishandling. Even though it's a new GM, it's just continuation of the Grigson years to a certain extent. Fantasy wise, for me, I think Marlon Mack could be someone to watch out for here. He's a game breaker. I think he had a lot more potentially the snaps in the backfield than people expected, even though the game was obviously way outside at this point. Yeah, but there was no doubt that Gore was number one, so for that to happen, it's a bit of a surprise. But for me, I think he could be the only fantasy guy in this game. Any others, guys?
I need John Brown to start catching some balls. He was targeted 10 times. I think he caught one or two of them. He's on my fantasy team. So maybe just catch two or three of those, please, John.
Yeah.
Was that because of bad throws or he just wasn't catching?
Probably. I'm going to say more down to the throwing here because Palmer was under a lot of pressure. So maybe some back foot throws.
I'm going to go with the old workhorse, Larry Fitzgerald, as probably the guy to watch in the game because, you know, the Indianapolis Colts are not exactly known for a smothering defense.
That's true.
And if Carson Palmer is, you know, a little bit wary, then his best receiver as his slot guy is probably the guy who's going to get targeted a lot. And it wouldn't shock me if he gets 10 plus targets this week.
Yeah. Prediction, Arizona are 7-point favorites. The over-under is 44. I think I might even try and look for a higher handicap than that. I just think the Colts are an absolute abomination at this point. Yeah, so I think Cardinals by way more than 7, I think, even though with all their injuries. Adam?
Maybe not way more, but they probably just about cover that. So let's go Arizona by 10.
Yeah. Ross?
Yeah, Arizona run. They're not going to win. They're not going to respect the passing game, so it's going to be really hard for anyone to run on them as well. So,
yeah,
shut down. Cardinals win.
Yeah, moving on, the Titans head to Jacksonville to face the 1-0 and AFC South leading Jacksonville Jaguars. The Titans on Sunday lost 26-16 to Oakland, and the Jaguars, as we mentioned earlier, thumped Houston Texans 29-7. For the Titans, though, Mariota, Corey Davis, who I think might be the fantasy guy to watch in this one. That's gonna be a fun budding relationship to keep track of, isn't it, Russ?
Yeah, they're an exciting team, the Titans. I like what they've done. They've really well rebuilt their team and the roster, and they've got a nice running game, and they've got some exciting receivers now as well. It's just kind of putting it all together and making it a coherent performance during the game, because they looked very shaky against the Raiders last week.
Yeah, despite that loss and despite if how underwhelming they may look, they are still the top team in the AFC South, aren't they, Adam?
Can I answer that at 4:30 on Sunday afternoon Eastern time, please? You know, you would think that's the case. I was a little bit disappointed that they didn't take care of business on Sunday, maybe because I had underrated the Raiders. But I really expected a home game they were going and win that against Oakland. So I think we'll have to see how it goes. I mean, they do have Mike Mularkey as the head coach.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he has never suggested that he is in any way a competent head coach. But they do have a lot of players that would suggest they should be a good side. So I think it's a tricky one.
Yeah.
But how incredible that Tennessee against Jacksonville is potentially one of the games that decides the AFC South.
Yeah,
very, very strange. As for the Jags, they may have found the formula at last. Leonard Fournette, 100-yard game, as we mentioned earlier. The defense was just smothering and just absolutely destroyed the Houston Texans O-line. Calais Campbell, obviously $70 million or whatever they give him in the offseason, was a huge addition. 4 solo sacks. He broke the franchise record in the first half for sacks in the game. The team ended up with 10 sacks. Dante Fowler started to show, and Adam's boy from a few years ago, Miles Jack, played up to his pre-injury draft stock with 14 tackles and a tackle and a half for a loss on Sunday. But that defense, it may be coming around. Obviously, with Jalen Ramsey, is an afterthought in that, but he's still a massive, massive talent, isn't he, Adam?
Yeah, and AJ Bouye on the other side. You know, it's taken a long time, longer than they would ever have hoped to, but maybe, just maybe, they've now built a really dominant defense to build off. But with Jacksonville, it comes down to Blake. And you never know when he's going to crap the bed.
125 yards on 21 attempts last week.
and they lost Allen Robinson for the year as well, which is, as Adam said with David Johnson, it's perfect timing in some regards. It's the exact opposite for Allen Robinson, who is in the final year of his contract, I believe. The spread is quite interesting. It's just 2 points in the favour of the Tennessee Titans. That's not something we'd expected to see a week ago, is it, Russ?
No, I'm taking the Jags as the underdog home team here, definitely.
I'm going to go with the Titans. I think that Jacksonville were able to capitalise on a pathetic offensive line and a dreadful dreadful half of a quarterback. I mean, Deshaun Watson wasn't great, let's be honest, but I think Jacksonville capitalized on their surroundings last week, and I think with the misdirection that Tennessee are able to provide with Mariota and DeMarco Murray, and then Henry if they need it, plus a good core of receivers, I think Tennessee are going to go in there and take care of business.
Yeah, I've just scrolled down to see the spread, and I was quite surprised to see it so slight. I think the Vikings have Titans have too much for the Jags, but it obviously, if you say it's going to be a lot tighter, but I think the Titans are going to win out. Moving on, the Miami Dolphins head across country to LA to face the Los Angeles Chargers in their first game back in LA. The Dolphins, obviously, with Jay Cutler now at quarterback, with Ryan Tannehill out for the year with a knee injury. Jay Cutler could be the perfect quarterback for Devontae Parker to have a breakout, Adam.
Yeah, I certainly think he is going to be the receiver that benefits most. Jarvis Landry, PPR guy, would be great because he catches, 15 balls a quarter. But last year didn't really turn them into an awful lot. And Devontae Parker is more of a deep threat. And Jay Cutler, if he's anything, he's a guy that likes to take a shot. So if you have Parker, then you can probably see him as a guy with a really high ceiling who should be quite fun to watch.
Yeah. Russ?
Yeah, they've got quite a few weapons here. Underrated Kenny Stills as well is massive deep threat. Jay Cutler's going to love launching balls down the field to him.
Yeah, I think I might even peg him as possibly the player to watch if, like, the start of the week in fantasy. I think Jay Ajayi could have a big, big night against the Dolphins here. The Broncos seem to have a lot of success on the ground. I think that's what they're going to... The Dolphins are going to follow up with a bigger back in Jay Ajayi. He's much bigger than CJ Anderson. So I think he could be someone, if you got him in fantasy, just play and just lock him down in that position, because I think he might be due a game. And I'm sure Sky Sports will react very calmly to it as well. As for the Chargers, they lost 24-21 to Denver on the late Monday night game. They are, for me, as talented as any team, but they just don't have no depth, do they, once players get injured or in a rotation, Adam?
No, they're a strange team because every year they are billed as, this could be the Chargers' year, and it just never seems to happen. I think Philip Rivers is a great quarterback, but he does turn the ball over too much. You have to hope that Keenan Allen can stay healthy for him for the whole season, because he is almost uncoverable in one-on-one situations. I have a feeling that the Chargers will get it done this week. But I'm not convinced what we're going to see out of them for the whole year. I think they are better than the Broncos overall, and I think they just got done by the sort of opening day bright lights. But I think there's two teams in that division that are a level above them.
Yeah, I would agree, Russ.
Yeah, like you said, the Chargers, they lack depth, but their starting offensive weapons are up there with some of the best in the league. Melvin Gordon is there.
Yeah, and on the defensive side.
Yeah.
It's the same on the defensive side.
Yeah, Ingram and Bosa, any team would take that.
Yeah, definitely.
And Jatavis Bryant, middle linebacker, is just a tackling machine. Mm. I think it's a rarity where he doesn't have double figures in tackles. But once one of those players goes down, obviously they lost Denzel Perryman in the preseason game against us, so I think he's still out. But yeah, it's just a weird.
They just need to stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Keenan Allen's a big one because he's possibly one injury away from just obviously drifting away out of the league like Victor Cruz did. Yeah. But yeah, I think he could be the big one. I think Tyrell Williams could be the man in fantasy this week. And Hunter Henry, who had zero targets last week, needs to start showing some. Austin Hooper, who was drafted a few picks after by the Falcons, obviously had his big day on Sunday. Predictions though, the Chargers are 5-point favourites. Over under is 45.5. I think I'd take Chargers with the handicap, Adam.
Yeah, I'm going for the Chargers to win this by just over a touchdown.
Yeah. Russ?
Yeah, me too. The Dolphins' defence suicide is not particularly strong, so yeah, Chargers by a touchdown or more.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what's going on in the stadium as well, because that's going to be some sight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, interesting. I think there's in true Arsenal fashion with the plane, I think there's planes flying over protesting the NFL and possibly Wayne Grout. I think if anyone who watches College Game Day a few weeks ago, Wayne Grout managed to make it to, was it Tuscaloosa it was in, wow, or something. I can't remember where it was in, but a Wenger out song was front and centre
worldwide
behind Kirk Herbstreit on ESPN. Moving on to the Jets, the hapless Jets, poor Jermaine, head to Oakland to face the 1-0 Raiders. As we mentioned, the Jets lost 21-12 with basically no offense against the Buffalo Bills. Our former Seahawk, Jermaine Kearse, ended the day with 7 catches with 59, but they are the worst team in the NFL, aren't they, Russ?
Yeah, they are terrible. I mean, Jermaine's having a good time. He had lots of, I think he had about 10 targets for 7 receptions and 60 yards. That's not bad for him.
How many of them were on 4th and 14? Or in those?
Well, I actually tweeted from our account. One of them, his second or third one, was a 3rd and 11. Throw to Kearse, first down. It's like it's a different place, same situation.
As Adam said about our air on Sunday, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Exactly. He might be in New York now, but he's in exactly the same situation.
Yeah.
They need to sort some running game out. Bilal Powell, 7 carries for 22 yards, and Forte, 6 carries for 16 yards. That's you need to help that whoever's playing quarterback for them with some running game.
Yeah. When Bilal Powell's the first name you mentioned, really, that it might not be anywhere close to sorting that. Adam, the worst team in the NFL?
I think they probably are. You would like to see them in a suck-off bowl with the Indianapolis Colts and see how that transpired. One of my favourite things is that Dave Dameshek always says that instead of the Pro Bowl, they should have the Loser Bowl.
Yes.
That team, the winner of that game, should get the first overall pick, which I just love the idea, especially as you'd have players fighting to win a game in order to effectively lose their job for the number one pick, which is just a great, great idea.
Put that on TV rather than a Pro Bowl. I would watch that.
100%. The person I feel most sorry for in New York is Todd Bowles, because he's going to lose his job despite the fact that his front office are trying to lose him the season.
Yeah.
So I don't really know why he's sticking around, but yeah, they're going to get absolutely waxed this week.
Yeah, for the Raiders, they, as we said earlier, impressively beat the Titans 26-16. Lynch looking his old self. Khalil Mack just continues to be the best defensive lineman, possibly one of the best, probably the best defensive player in the league for me at this point. But a lot of talk has been made over the offseason on Derek Carr and where he ranks in the stupid quarterback ranks. Is Derek Carr under or overrated for you, Adam?
I think he is probably around about correctly rated as the eighth, ninth guy. And as with all other quarterbacks in the league, he is wildly underrated by Seahawks fans who think there is one good quarterback in the league and 31 rubbish ones.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of those issues about Carr were coming from Seahawks Twitter over the season, because they just got offended by everything he said after we got Marshawn Lynch. Russ, Derek Carr, as Adam said, he's pegged correctly, isn't he?
Yeah, back end of the top 10, just around there. Definitely, there's definitely better quarterbacks than him, but he's more than serviceable, and the Raiders obviously feel so paying him so much money.
Yeah, so Adam, without looking, what do you think the handicap is on this game?
I've seen this.
16.5.
Oh no, 13 according to ESPN.
Blimey.
Yeah,
I think it's funny.
Just cash in on that one, isn't it? It's a case of.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, Russ?
Yeah. Straight.
Right, it's pretty cool. Moving on, the Cowboys head to Mile High to face the Broncos. I believe this is the later game on Sky Sports this weekend. On Sunday Night Football, as the NFC East always is, they beat the New York Giants 19-3. The Ezekiel Elliott vacated suspension possibly has the biggest impact on the NFC and the NFL this year, doesn't it, Adam?
100%. It's something that no team in the league will have considered going to happen, and it has. You don't know when it's going to happen. It might end up ends up getting banned for the last 6 weeks or the playoffs. I doubt that will happen. I think it's probably going to carry over to next year now. It's a mess of a situation that is, inflicted by a number of people. I don't think the NFL handled the situation well at all. But whilst he's out there, Dallas become a massive threat in the NFC, and there's no other way of looking at it.
Yeah, I'd agree. Russ?
It's been the storyline of the summer, and Zeke is one of the top three running backs in the league. If he's there, he makes a huge difference to the Cowboys. It's annoying that they're always on TV more than us. I don't really know what to make of this Broncos team, though, if I'm honest.
No, I think as we said in the other podcast, I was quite surprised when I woke up on Tuesday and saw that the Broncos had beaten the Chargers with all their quarterback issues. Simeon's not very good, lads. fair play to them. The defence has continued to do what they've done the last couple of years, and CJ Anderson, healthy, is like he was before he got injured last year. But for the Cowboys, that O-line is just ludicrous, isn't it, Russ?
Yeah, it's not really fair.
They've done what we've done. They've moved the guy from it. They've moved the guy along to right tackle.
Yeah,
and he looks even better. It's not fair.
They've probably got three of the best O-linemen in the league at their positions. Probably they are the number ones. The right guard is maybe the only place that's slightly weaker, but even that's better than most.
Yeah, and on a point I think Adam's mentioned quite a few times on the podcast, how often we talk about the O-line coach, Mr. Cable, in Seattle. Name the Dallas Cowboys offensive coach. Go on. He's got possibly the best unit ever put together, and I could not tell you his name without
looking at it. Well, I'm looking at it, and it's Frank Pollack.
Okay. Never heard of him.
No idea. He sounds like the number 8 for South Africa.
Yeah, he does. Speaking of coordinators in Dallas, I think you have to give a huge shout to Rod Marinelli,
yeah,
who every year they go into the season saying, oh, yeah, the defense is going to let them down. And really, it hasn't at all. I mean, they may not be the greatest point-scoring defense, but they've got it done pretty well in the last few years. And I think for a team who don't appear to have huge amounts of talent on paper, they have a good scheme, and you know, any team giving up only 3 points to a team who is allegedly going to make the playoffs in the Giants, I think that's a great achievement.
Yeah, even without OBJ, they still have Sterling Shepard, Brandon Marshall,
Evan Engram,
the tight end Evan Engram, and not a too bad running game, and a quarterback who's won 2 Super Bowls. Yeah, it is a massive, massive thing. There's always supposed to be a drop-off. Every year they have a massive turnover on the defensive side. They lost Claiborne from last year. I think Barry Church has left as well. But as you say, they still kept the Giants at the end. Very impressive predictions, Adam?
I will take the Cowboys, and I don't know what the spread is, but I'll probably go with the
2.5.
Oof. Or I would have said the Cowboys by 3, so there you go.
Yeah, I think the Broncos defense is going to keep it. The over-under is 43, which seems about right, I think. I think it's going to be a 23-20 kind of game. I think the Cowboys as well. I think even though the Broncos are at home, I think the Cowboys with Zeke will be the difference, as he is possibly going to be every week until the end of time, Russ.
Yeah, that's a big factor, but I'm taking the Broncos at home in what is a less than a 3-point spread. I always take the home team in that one.
Okay, moving on. Redskins, Washington Redskins, Kirk Cousins heads west as he is going to the end of the season, most likely to face the LA Rams. The Skins lost 30-17 to the Eagles on Sunday, and the Rams obviously, even though they did face Scott Tolzien, possibly the surprise of the weekend with just how handily they did put away the Colts. Is that accurate, Adam? How surprise?
I think the Colts are so bad that you can't read into too much. I don't think that Cousins is going to give up 2 touchdowns to the Rams. No. And I as you well know, I don't think that Jared Goff is anything special. And I think under a bit of pressure, and maybe coming from behind, I think that's when you'll start to see him balls it up.
Vert type, yeah. Russ?
What's not been mentioned in that Rams fantastic win is Todd Gurley had 20 carries for 40 yards. They still can't run the ball.
No.
And like I say, when they get behind and Jared Goff reverts back to type, their offense is going to go into the toilet.
Yeah, you'd have to hope, because it's going to be really annoying if they put 40 points on everyone. I mean, I think one thing you saw in the Redskins game, particularly with Kirk Cousins and how limited he looked, they did lose to Sean Jackson and they lost McVay to the Rams.
Mm.
So obviously only week one, but the signs were, for a Redskins fan, I was figured they'd be worrying that how the offense didn't really look like they could do a lot without
Cousins isn't quite in sync with Pryor yet.
No. Another thing I said in the summer is, and I may be proved completely wrong, because maybe the money's going to go up so much that it will change, but I don't think that Kirk Cousins will ever get as good an offer as he had this summer, because I just don't think he's a good enough player to warrant it. Mm-hmm. And I think he has had brilliant offensive minds and players around him for the last 2 years, and I think he's lost quite a lot of that this year, and I think his play's going to drop off to the point where some teams might consider maybe he's not the guy that we think for 100 million over 4 or 5 years.
I'd agree. There was also talk that if Russell Wilson wasn't there at 75 in 2012, that Kirk Cousins was plan B for the Seahawks. So that would have been an interesting few years. But this is another one of those games where fantasy teams and fantasy hopes go to die, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because who'd you pick out of this as a standout fantasy performance? Cooper Kupp, maybe?
Cooper Kupp? How does he come from? Obviously, he's playing Washington State College, but still.
I never trust Jordan Reed in fantasy because he's just too injury prone.
He's playing with a broken toe.
So yeah, that's not a good start. Really
expect, no, it's not in week one, week two. Adam, there's nothing on fantasy here, is there?
No, there isn't a player that I would... I've just picked up Kirk Cousins to be my second quarterback in case he goes off and I can use him as a trading chip. Mm. But I wouldn't be playing anyone in this game.
Who are we picking in that game?
The Rams, I think. I think Kirk Cousins looked terrible on Sunday.
And Aaron Donald's back.
Yeah, that's annoying. Yeah, the Rams in for me.
Oh, the Rams in me 2-0. Adam?
I'm going to go Redskins just because I can't possibly... Yeah, I can't possibly take the Rams in a real game.
Moving on to game of the weekend. Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football head to the very impressive new Atlanta Falcons stadium, which has the greatest video screen, which is just like a rotating thing. It's very, very cool. On NBC and on Sunday Night Football, as we all know by now, the Green Bay Packers beat our Seahawks 19-7, and the Falcons just about survived against Chicago Bears 23-17. For Green Bay, though, it's as it will always be, it has been for a few years, it's on number 12, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing some people talking about, you know, the Packers as the number one team in the power rankings this week. I don't really get that. I thought Rodgers put in a masterful performance last week against the Seahawks, but I don't necessarily think that as a team they look massively strong. And, you know, I don't want to bleat about referees, but they probably were saved 11 points from pretty rank decision making.
Yeah, I'll agree. Ross?
Yes, I just agree with everything Adam just said then. It's Rodgers somehow managed to get up to 311 yards. I don't really know. I can't remember really where those yards came from, to be honest. He had 42 throws. There wasn't much of a running game. It's going to be a very interesting game because the Falcons weren't that impressive either against the Bears last week. So I don't think they've got as good a defence as us. So maybe
No. On the fantasy side, I think for this... Austin Hooper possibly been a bit of a popular guy on waiver wires because he come out of nowhere, really.
Two receptions, 130 yards.
Yeah, and he was all alone for his long touchdown as well. But yeah, Falcons without Shanahan looked a bit different, didn't they, Adam?
I didn't get to see too much of the Falcons. It wasn't a game. I think the game went really fast. I think it might have been the first game to finish.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a blink and you miss it thing. Matt Ryan will certainly want to get his three receivers involved a lot more, especially Julio Jones, who does set the tone. And it's a repeat of the NFC Championship game. And I think I will go for the same outcome, although a much tighter scoreline, I think, in this one.
Yeah, the Falcons are three-point favourites. So I think this could be an absolute classic on Sunday. I think the championship game was handy, but I think this could be... Yeah, just you score, like a Drew Brees home game as well, I think this could be a lot of fun. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think the Falcons, again, a lot tighter, Ross.
Yes, it's going to be the same kind of matchup for the Packers, but in a close game, I'd always take Rodgers over Ryan. So, Packers for me.
The other game on week two is the Monday night game. The Detroit Lions heading to MetLife Stadium to face the New York Giants. Odell Beckham is expected to be back, and that is likely going to be the difference for a lot of fantasy GMs and the Giants, isn't it, Russ?
Yeah, this game, I don't know what to make of this game. I don't know why it's on like one of the primetime games, to be honest with you. There's not really much in this. The Lions came back from seemingly the dead against the Cardinals, but the Cardinals didn't put up much of a fight. And Giants were terrible. How are they on telly again?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's because they're NFC East.
I guess so. Adam?
Yeah, it's like Detroit against New York is like a classic grind and, you know, I don't know, 1980s cold sounding proper American football game, doesn't it? But ultimately it's two pretty dull offenses. I mean, Stafford has his moments with his weird throws, but I don't really want to watch Eli Manning play too many more games this year. No. He is done. And apart from Odell Beckham, it's East Coast bias, this game, I would imagine. That's where it's been put on. It probably draws in huge ratings, being New York.
Yeah.
But it's not a game that I would stay up for unless I had huge fantasy implications, I wouldn't have thought.
So the Lions, though, they did not have much of a run game on Sunday. Amir Abdullah was leading rushing with 15 carries for 30 yards. It was not a great weekend for many running backs across the league. But Amir Abdullah is another year up. He's my fantasy running back RB1. He's the first one I drafted. He needs something to happen this year, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that, you know, people talk about every offseason. Oh, this could be Abdullah's year. And if you remember from All or Nothing a couple of years ago, the Arizona Cardinals were just about to take Amir Abdullah, and he got taken the spot in front of them by the Detroit Lions, and so David Johnson landed very nicely in their lap. So thanks a lot for that, Detroit. You really balls that up for us. And cost me a fantasy championship last year in the same way, so thanks a lot. Abdullah, the Lions it's always a bit cultsy in the sense that their running backs always seem to be names but just nothings, like Theo Riddick, Joik Bell, Amir Abdullah. It's just like they just exist on 9-point fantasy running backs forever.
So is the Giants as well.
Yeah.
Well, the Giants, I didn't watch any of the game because I was snoozing on Sunday night. But the Giants also have Paul Perkins, who is another guy from UCLA who I've had on my dynasty bench for a couple of years. And he's hopefully, I need him to. This could be the year for him, because I couldn't even tell you who the other running back is and for the Giants.
Orleans Darkwa.
Orleans.
They rushed 10 times for 30 yards between them.
Oh, so that's why Abdullah is the leading rusher in this game with 30 yards. I was sitting there thinking, is this right? 30 yards was the leading rusher?
Yep.
Yeah, apparently it is. The Giants are 3.5-point favourites because they're at home. I think Matt Stafford has a slight case of the Drew Brees where he can only play at home in a dome. I think I'm going to take the Giants here. Adam?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants because I think their defence will win the game for them. I can't see Detroit scoring more than 10 points.
Yeah.
And I think Eli will be able to lead three drives down the field. Maybe use Brandon Marshall more than once and earlier than the 30th last second of the match, as in Dallas when he had his one and only catch with 30 seconds to go. So note to you, Eli, maybe throw it to the good receiver you've got.
And Beckham's probably back as well.
Yeah, it appears that he is. Ross, you on board with the NYG?
Yep, straight sweep for the Giants.
Cool. Right, now see, the other game we leave until last is the Seahawks home opener against the 49ers. The Seahawks are the biggest favourites in week two in the NFL with a 14-point handicap, and the over under is 41.5. Is this the only game in NFL history where one team covers the over under?
42.5. Well, I'd like that to be true. Yeah, that'd be lovely.
I don't think our offensive line is anywhere near good enough to cover that many points yet, unfortunately. Do you remember we played the Chicago Bears a couple of years ago, and I think our first touchdown was just after halftime.
I
really, 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 really hate to do this to you, but I just think it's going to be another one of those sort of claggy. We said on our first podcast, we need to score 30. I've got this down as like a 23-7 type of game that's going to be stodgy. I just don't think we have enough talent up front to dominate a decent front seven at the moment. So let's see. Hopefully I'm wrong, but that's what I've got. Fantasy wise, there's a litany of Seahawks players that you could choose, but then also all of them could be awful. So who knows? Probably Tanner McAvoy, who has the stand up game.
I think with fantasy, I picked up, after I lost Terrence West, I picked up Chris Carson. I think he's going to have the Christian Michael day he had a year ago against the Niners. I think he could be, he was the lead rusher, the guy who got the most carries last week. Obviously, Rawls is back, so that might damage it slightly, but I think he has to be ahead of Eddie Lacy even this early. And we might find ourselves in a situation where Eddie Lacy might be the odd man out and sitting in his tracksuit top on the bench, Russ.
Hopefully, because I mean, I've rewatched that game well last night. He was a disaster. I've never seen a Seahawks running back look that bad before. I would have taken Robert Turbin's 2 yard rushes over what
I like Lacy Robert gave. Turbin.
Yeah, I'm team Turbo. Always Turbo.
But Rawls being back is a massive upgrade.
Yeah.
And I'm starting Baldwin, Rawls and Graham in my fantasy game this week, so I'm hoping for some points. Big points.
Yeah, well, I'm starting Graham. It's Abdullah or Carsten, which is just or Mac, which explains the state of my running back group. yeah, the Seahawks are should cover, shouldn't they, Russ? 14 points.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a two touchdown win at least. I mean, the Niners didn't get much going last week, and it's going to face an even tougher offensive front, and we should be able to shut down Garcon for most of the game as well. I'm expecting Hyde to get a garbage time touchdown like last year, just as padded stats, which is good for me because he's on my fantasy team as well.
Didn't he get two last year?
Yeah, right at the end, both of them. Which, I mean, I'll take it this year if we're already 40 points up, that's fine.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with Adam. I think we're going to cover, but I don't expect 58-0. I know I joke about this, but I don't see it being more than 24-27 points for the Seahawks, but I don't see the 49ers managing to do anything. I think their best hope is the O-line completely crumbling and Russell Wilson copying what the BYU Boise State quarterback did against Washington State Cougars and throw a shovel pass straight to a linebacker.
Well, Wilson talked this week, didn't he, about wanting to play more high tempo. And
yeah.
I rewatched the game. That last drive before half time in shotgun, quick passes.
And then also that is, I think, this one was Nathan Ertz, I think.
Yeah.
On Twitter last night where he highlighted that final drive because Cable said it was Effetti's best part of the game. Luke Jokel ends up on the ground 5 times in that drive.
yeah, he does.
So, not certain how much positivity. Once he was tripped, but 5 times he's on his backside.
So, $8 million.
And he can improve. $8 million, yeah. But we didn't spend enough money on the O-line, chaps. But yeah, that's all 16 games. Quite a lengthy pod. Quickly though, start the week league wise for you, Adam, is in fantasy.
Start the week in fantasy, blimey. I am gonna go with start of the week will be Julio Jones.
Yep. For me it's Amari Cooper, I think, against the Jets for Oakland. For the Raiders against the Jets. Russ?
I'm going to go with Gillislee because they're going to get red zone opportunities and he's just going to pound that Saints defense, unfortunately.
Yeah. Next week, this one from here on, this will be up on our Patreon. Russ, how can people get on that?
Go to patreon.com/thepedestrianpodcast and if you back us at $3 a month or more, you'll get every bonus episode we do. And $3 with current conversion is, what, £2.30 something? I mean, what else of this value can you get for that much money? Nothing, really. That's 90 minutes worth of content for less than half the price of a pint. So there you go.
Right, so as I said, next week from here on, this will all be on Patreon, and you can catch that as Ross has just detailed. If you wanted to ask any questions, there's a small number of patrons we do have, and those of you who are kind enough to sign up between now and next week's edition of this, you can do over via all our social media platforms. On Twitter, it's @SeahawkersUK, or personally for us three, it's @Stuart_Court, @AdamDNathan, or @RossBowell1984. We're now on Instagram @ThePedestrianPodcast, on Facebook, The Pedestrian Podcast is its own Facebook page, and we also have a presence now on YouTube. Also, we have something pretty cool to announce, Adam.
Yeah, we have become patrons of Hawk Blogger, who, if you aren't aware, has one of the best collections of writers and podcasters going. We are sponsoring them monthly, and that money goes to Ben's Fund, which is a charity that supports children that need care. And we are absolutely delighted to be part of that going forward, and hopefully we'll be able to get some good guests through that in the future.
Yeah, a massive thanks to Brian for allowing us to all that as well. But yeah, this has been the Pedestrian Podcast Plus One. Until next time,
go Hawks!
That is going to do it. 12, they're bringing the trophy home. Your Seahawks Super Bowl 48 champions.